Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
And welcome back. Continuing reaction to the Sabres hiring of Ralph Krueger. We had the pleasure of speaking with Krueger last hour. Now we'll talk to Bob Stauffer, who joins us on the Wester Hotline. Bob is with 630 CHED, Ched, if you prefer. Should we be saying Ched, Bob? Do you prefer Ched?
Well, you can say Ched or you can say Oilers Entertainment Group. I work for the parent company that owns the Oilers hockey team. So, all good, gentlemen. And you know what? Your listeners are about to go through an experience because, I've done the color for the Edmonton Oilers now for the last 11 years. We've had 9 head coaches during that stretch. I'm a former SID at the most successful Canadian school in multiple disciplines that there's been. And dating all the way back, I was in school when Cal Botterill was a professor at the University of Alberta. That's Jason's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Working there with a guy named Claire Drake, who is seen as sort of the forerunner of the Western Canadian college coaching fraternity that led itself to Mike Babcock and Todd McClellan and, Barry Trotz, guys like that. And there's a philosophical approach that comes from that genre of coaches for the most part. And I can tell you, Krueger is one unique dude, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm excited about this idea, too.
Unique in a good way when you say that. You mean that as a compliment, right?
Well, let's put it this way. How many of your listeners right now have kids that play sports? Maybe you guys do as well. The one thing that has no place today in sport are coaches that believe in breaking kids down and building them up. It's not 1960 or 1970. But hockey has been the last sport, in my opinion, that has really embraced an approach where you treat your athletes, or maybe for people that are in the workforce and manage people, you treat the people that you manage with respect and dignity from the beginning. So you're not in a power relationship. But what you do is you empower them by doing that, and that's how you engender the greatest amount of passion to get them to play for you. That's what sport's all about. Sport is all about coaches getting the most out of their players. And for this generation, they want positive. They don't want negative reinforcement. And I will tell you that in the organization I work for, we've had coaches at times that have come in and berated the players, and it has failed. And what happened to Ralph is he just didn't get a chance to see it through in Edmonton. Then he goes over and, coaches or, is a president, chairman of Southampton, which is a feeder system for the 6 richest teams in the English Premier League. And again, I'm sure you guys just heard in the last half hour, he's a really smart and interesting guy. You guys have had a lot of negative energy around your organization the last several years. I've lived it in Edmonton too. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes some courage to hire this guy, but I'm here to tell you, if the Pegulas, and it hasn't been their reputation because they've moved out a lot of coaches, not just in the NHL, but in the NFL as well. And that was something Todd McClellan discussed with them. But if they stick with this, they might get the type of reward that Sabres fans deserve.
With Bob Stauffer, who I we're told you're at Disneyland, by the way. That's cool.
I am. Every May, I have an autistic son, and every May we bring him to Disneyland, which was a real hassle a couple years ago when the Oilers were playing the Anaheim Ducks at the time in the second round of the playoffs. And that was the one good year Edmonton's had in the last decade plus. And, of course, the two organizations were supposed to benefit from McDavid and Eichel, and it hasn't really seen itself through. So But I love talking about Ralph just because, you know what, guys, when he first came to Edmonton, I was like, we're hiring the coach out of Switzerland?
Yeah.
Like, nobody protects 2-0 deficit out of Switzerland. We needed to go to Switzerland. But within the first couple conversations, he has the type of personality that just engages people. And it's the way he treats everybody. There's no power games, but it doesn't mean that he can't be firm in his convictions. Again, he just has a way of getting the most. Leon Draisaitl, same thing with the Team Europe during the 2016 World Cup. I mean, he was out of hockey coaching for a couple of years at that time, but he brought that group together. And I believe that's what he's going to do in Buffalo with the Sabres. He's going to bring that group together.
Bob, I don't know if you have a position or an opinion on this. I'm curious about how this came to be. We're learning this week about Botterill's relationship and his family's relationship with Kruger. McClellan was here for the Frozen Four and we think was interviewed. So I've been wondering through this, and it's been more than 5 weeks, I think, since they had this vacancy, what they really wanted in this. You know, like he's got this relationship with Kruger that goes back, but the Sabres may have had other ideas, at least for a while.
Well, good organizations look at multiple people. And I think Todd McClellan could have been successful in Buffalo as well. I don't think the failure of the Oilers is on the coach. And I think the fact that the LA Kings, you know, gave Todd a significant raise and gave him a 5-year commitment reinforces what Buffalo is up against. You know, and that's the second time McClellan's kind of gone. One thing about Todd McClellan, guys, is they'll never take an interview for a job if there's an existing head coach in place. So Housley was out of the mix. Okay, let's have a conversation. You know, Willie Desjardins, who came out of the University of Calgary in Western Canada, out of the mix in L.A., they fire him at the end of the season. Then the conversation started with Rob Blake. Do I think that Ralph was necessarily the front runner originally? Maybe not, because I think they went down that path with McClellan before in Buffalo. But I think what happens is as you have more conversations, you come to terms that this is a guy that is going to think and approach things differently than other people have done. And the situation in Buffalo, to me, is different than Edmonton. Like, the Oilers were really in the embryonic stages of their rebuild at that time. And all you need to know about the mistake that was made is the first thing Craig McTavish, then the GM of the team, said, and he was a GM less than 6 months when he fired Ralph, after saying that he was going to keep Ralph at the end of the year presser, 5 weeks later, fired him to hire Dallas Aikens. And the first thing he said is, this isn't fair to Ralph. Mm-hmm. So he knew how it was going to be viewed. Well, this process was fair to Ralph. The Sabres took some time. Botterill showed some courage because he went down an atypical path. And to me, Ralph's not a retread at all because he never got a chance to really establish himself in the National Hockey League. He was an associate coach for 2 years with the Oilers when they were really young. And then have the team in a lockout year, which was a difficult scenario. And I just think, you know what, I am thankful for one reason, and you guys will laugh at this. If Ralph Kruger had stayed, Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid would not have been Edmonton Oilers, because I believe the team would have been better and finished higher in the standings than they ended up finishing in the 2014 and 2015 drafts.
Yeah,
so
I think
the only benefit out of what occurred. Would you not agree with me, guys?
I think we've all had enough of lotteries, the three of us. We're tapped out on lotteries.
You guys did all right last year, man. You got a guy that's going to be with Steve Smith there, and of course he's tied to Ralph as well. And Steve's become a bit of a defense whisper. Think about it. Steve Smith overcame arguably the biggest blunder in NHL history to be a shutdown defenseman and win 3 more Stanley Cups and shut Cam Neely down in 2 of those cup wins. That takes courage. That takes real, you got to persevere to do that. But Steve's got a very calm and teachable hand. He's not a yeller and screamer. And nor is Ralph. So I think it's, you know what, I think, and you guys have all known the stories, you know, European Economic Forum. Right. Like, he wasn't at a rookie tournament the first year. And I'm like, where the hell is he? They're like, he's at the European Economic Forum. And I'm like, what? They're like, he's speaking at the European Economic Forum. I'm like, you got to be crazy. You should be here dealing with our prospects. And they're like, not on what he gets paid to speak at that conference. So, you know, he'd made a prior commitment before coming to Edmonton as an assistant at that time. He's a different guy, let me tell you.
That's a lot like Le'Veon Bell being on that, you know, that boat instead of going to practice. I think it's probably a lot like that.
Very similar. You know, Bob, you've referenced that lockout shortened season, and I, over the course of this, like, just sort of cramming on Ralph Krueger over the course of 3 or 4 days here since his name first cropped up in our orbit. I feel like I heard somewhere that season they were in a playoff spot pretty late and then lost 10 of 12. And I wonder how the postscript is written just on that season. Like, we can all agree that, you know, McTavish has admitted that it wasn't fair that he got fired the way he did. But how about what happened within that season when they were in a spot to maybe make the playoffs and then fell apart?
Well, Edmonton was in the playoff spot at the trade deadline and lost out on the acquisition of Ben Bishop because they wouldn't give up a second-round pick. C. Pamelini was the GM. His one addition was Jared Smithson, who never played a game after that season in the National Hockey League, a fourth-line center. One of the players said to me, he said, hey, get the cab. I'm like, don't worry, I'll take the team bus after the trade deadline going to a game that night in Calgary. He said, don't get in the cab, and then he proceeded to, you know, this guy just screwed us. We're going to go up, because what had happened is Edmonton hadn't played the San Jose's, the L.A.'s, and the Vancouver's much at that point. And back in 2013, those teams were pretty good teams, and they were big, and they were heavy. And the Oilers had small and skill, and the game hadn't evolved to more smaller and skilled players, which it totally has over the last 5 years. You guys both know that.
Yeah.
And so the Oilers didn't make the requisite adds to improve the team in the trade deadline. They didn't improve in goal, and they faltered down the stretch. Krueger's got a terrific power play. His power play was third in the league. He ran the power play in 11-12. That was the second in Tom Rennie's 2 years as head coach. That was Ralph's power play. He had Corey Potter as his point man on the power play. 2 years later, Corey wasn't even in the NHL. That power play came third in the NHL. In the lockout year, the Oilers' power play was seventh, but they only played against the West, and the West was stronger. Don't forget, Chicago and L.A. were sort of at the height of their powers, 12-13, right? They were sort of trading Stanley Cups back and forth. So coming in seventh overall wasn't bad. I think the Oilers had the ninth-ranked PK. They got exposed 5-on-5 because they didn't have the depth. They had a young, smaller team. But he did the one thing he did, he's got a 1-3-1-4 check. And the centers really have to support the puck defensively low. And that is a different thing than a lot of other NHL organizations use. So centers have to get used to it. You guys have good young centers there. Like, I don't know how good Mittelstadt's going to be, but he's at least going to be no worse than he should be a top six player. And obviously Eichel on 25 of the NHL teams is a first-line center. And 2 years from now on 29 for NHL teams, he'll be a first-line center. So he got some good players. He's going to push the centers. Your defense, you've added some skill picking up Montour. Obviously, you got Dahlin. Ristolainen, because of your injuries there, probably doesn't get moved now. He might be able to rebuild the confidence in that player as well. So it's just such a completely different approach. But the Edmonton thing was a lot about the personnel just not being ready yet. And then the Oilers went ahead and altered the course and the direction of their franchise when they fired him.
Bob, I know you're at Disneyland. That line you're in is probably down to like 100 minutes. Hang in there. And
don't worry, they can pay for it.
We will. We'll see you in the finals next year. I think that's probably what we'll. It's time. It's time for that all to just.
Hey, we'll be
pop.
Yeah, we'll be planning a different parade than the one I'm going to hit here in 12 minutes.
Great. Thanks for your time, Bob.
Anytime, guys. See you.
Oilers radio analyst Bob Stauffer on Twitter at Bob_Stauffer, Stauffer.
That is two Disney guests in the last few weeks. Right, didn't we have Ed Oliver, a reporter from Houston, was on from Disney World after the draft, or maybe it was even before the draft. I don't remember now, but I know it was somebody to talk about how awesome Ed Oliver was in college, probably after the draft. It's nice. These people make time for us at Disney World.
We missed a chance with Krueger for Euro Disney. We might have been able to get him over to Euro Disney, which I think exists.
It's still a thing.
Yeah. Maybe in Paris or where is that? You ever been to Euro?
I think Paris.
Paris is right for Euro Disney.
Yep, Disneyland Paris.
All right. That's great news.
I don't go to the ones here. I'm not gonna go to Paris and go to Disneyland or Disney World. I'll probably pass.
If you go to Paris, you wouldn't want to go to Disney you know, Disney World.
No, I don't.
That's you want to go to, like, the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, right.
Or a patisserie.
Right. Mostly, I would want to. I would want to go to, like, French things, not American things.
Right.
While I'm in, yeah, well, France.
There are six Disney Worlds in total in the world.
Are there?
There
are one's in Ashland, Massachusetts.
Right.
Six.
There's actually three in Ashland, Massachusetts.
There's three in Ashland, Massachusetts: Paris, Orlando, Anaheim. Tokyo is my guess. I'm going to throw Tokyo into this.
Tokyo
mix.
Has one.
There's got to be one there.
You got Paris, Florida, California, obviously.
How about Sydney?
No. It's a good guess, though.
Thank you. How about Berlin?
Nope.
How about the North Pole?
That would be a great one.
Ooh. North Pole Disney. North Disney Pole, North Disney. Pole.
China?
Yes.
Yeah, Beijing maybe?
No.
Or maybe a Shanghai Bulldog,
Shanghai.
Are you thinking?
Shanghai?
Shanghai and also Hong Kong.
Yeah, sure. Right. That was the obvious answer.
Good to know.
Well, this guy has fans, doesn't he?
Yes. Yes, he really does. And I know, like I said this in the first hour, and it probably should be repeated fairly often on a day like today, that these days always sound like this, no matter who the guy is. If Jacques Martin had been hired by the Sabres today, there would be people that would be agreeing to come on the air to talk about his experiences or their experiences with him, covering him, playing for him, and you know, Noah would be going, yeah, I know, he's shot. He can't do this anymore. He doesn't know what he's doing. The game has passed him by. He hasn't been a head coach since 2000, whatever, and just forget about it. You know, you'd be hearing about what he's accomplished and all the playoff appearances and how he holds guys accountable and everyone in the room knows he's in charge and all that. Like, that's just how this day goes, almost no matter what. So I recognize that, and it can be a trap. But, man, I just – The boxes are just being checked here on this guy. I really like, I like the, he's a different kind of guy. Like, and the way this last guest here, Stauffer, like, let off with the days of tearing guys down and then building them back up are over. And that's, in my opinion, exactly right. And it has been the case for a long time. And I know that there is going to be criticism of that because it seems like you are catering to the players, but you need to get the best out of them. And if the bludgeoning them way is antiquated and no longer effective, then you got to go the other way. And I think Ralph Kruger is extremely the other way. And I'm really interested to see how that goes because I don't know that we've had a coach that's quite like this before. And that is, I mean, the word different has been coming out of your mouth for a month here talking about this hire. And, I mean, this guy is different, all caps, Daiglo Orange. Different, I think, is what you've got here.
Would love to have been one of these people in the bar that he approached, just bouncing around. You see, I mean, he knew the places when we talked to him. Elmwood, Allentown, you know, he knew KeyBank Center. He knew the places.
Yeah.
A lot of people would be like, I've got to get to know the places. But he just sort of rattled it off. And, you know, that's a good mind. I wish I could have been one of those people because, I mean, I'm in bars a lot. And there are times when it depends on what the conversation is. It depends on what the person is saying, you know? Like, maybe you're not in the mood to talk to a stranger about the game that's on. But, you know, you can get in the mood. It depends on what they're talking about.
Yeah, it depends how interesting the conversation is. Like, what's the question that's asked?
If I'm sitting in a bar and the guy next to me recognizes me and goes, when is Jack Eichel going to score 20 goals in a season? Yes, that happened. And then I go, hasn't he done that every year? Like, just sort of, I don't want to go along with this guy on the
right.
Playoff game that's on in the bar. Because, you know, what's the point? But, like, if Ralph Kruger is sort of the way he seems to work, and he comes up to you, and you don't know it's him, because why would you? And he starts going, you know, so what do you think of your team, right? I'm here from out of town. Whatever right. He says, I wonder what the whole spiel was.
Right.
I'm in from out of town. What do you think the deal is with the Sabres? What do people tell him? Like, he said he was impressed with, you know, obviously, it's a rabid fan base, and, you know, he said all the right things about the fans. And, you know, he's right. People are interested in them, and we know mm-hmm, that.
Mm-hmm.
nobody told him who? Is that, what is that, a hockey team? Like, I bet he didn't get that answer. But what does the fan he runs into tell him about the Sabres? Like, he makes some impression on the stranger in the bar.
Right.
And is the guy like, when is Jack Eichel going to score 20 goals? Like, what fans was he running into?
I'd love to know. He didn't say it with us earlier here, but this morning when he was on with Andrew and Craig and Marty, I think that's where he said it was enlightening. Which is, I think, a very curious choice to describe it, because that can mean a lot of things. Like, you might have very well heard, these guys are spoiled. I'm sick of it. They need a coach to come in here and knock them around and show them who's boss and get the best out of them. But I could easily see a very big, reasonable Sabres fan saying that about this group of players, because there is talent there, and it just has not come out. Like, we know it's not a perfect roster, obviously, but I mean, I would put money on someone saying that to him.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
I mean, if you talk to 10 people, say, in the course of going to 6 different places in a night, I can't believe someone wouldn't have said that to him.
I'm glad it worked out. I'll just say that.
Yeah, right.
I'm glad it worked out. Right. Whew. Who knew that was happening? And I'm just glad it worked out. 803-0550. What do you think? Ralph Krueger named Sabres coach. Paul Hamilton joins us in about 40 minutes. We have time for your calls after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
It's just another tool in our kit today, and on the sports science level and the analytics level, it's in these last few years in Southampton, I've been able to learn many, many, many things that I'd like to put into play here in the National Hockey League and in Buffalo. You know, we had quite a lot of opportunity to develop that area. I believe it's important, but it's still, above all, it'll come down to not overusing the analytics. I believe you need to create a space where the players have certain guidelines and a framework, but within that space, I like them to be able to be creative and also to let their instincts play. And finding that balance is the challenge that we have as a head coach. The analytics will play a role. Most of it will stay with the coaches, and we'll put it into play without handcuffing the players.
Ralph Krueger today, that's from the conference call he did with members of the media earlier. Tell us what you think of that or this at 803-0550. I'm not going to, like, worry about that. Like, there's a lot of culture and the analytics. Like, sometimes with these people, all of the recent Bills and Sabres hires, they'll at least pay lip service to it. But what they actually do with it, you know, you often don't know. You might be able to tell from how they use their players, or in the football coach's case, you know, game strategy, mm-hmm. clock management, whatever. And so, I think this is totally normal. Like, I just have a tendency to want to give the benefit of the doubt to somebody with a really good mind. And he sounds like it. He has one, and everybody seems to say that he has one. And, like, that's the number one thing for me is, like, can you figure things out? I don't want to assume that he's somebody who, to say the least, I don't want to assume that he's somebody who will ignore data. Like, how are you speaking at the European Economic Forum for money and not be sort of respectful of statistics? Some of these sports people, they don't know that world. They don't come from that world. If I may, Phil Housley was drafted out of high school to play in the NHL. Like, I don't know. Like, for me, there can be, it might not always be true, but there can be a sort of correlation, an education correlation there. And I mean, I'd love it if ex-players who know the life, who know what players go through, were respectful of the statistics, and then hopefully could figure out how to use them properly and make that work. But too many seem to just not be. They just seem to think, and they get reinforcement from within every day of their lives that they should know. I was hired for this job. I'm the one who should know. I don't need that. And I just think in life, in sports, that's not the best way to be.
Yeah. I'm very hopeful in this area with this guy. I don't think you can have the background he's got and not at least have he certainly has the mind for it. I don't have any question about that. And I think to just be ignoring it or just not utilizing it, coming from the background he has, would really surprise me. I mean, that doesn't have to be certain, but I'm just telling you, it would surprise me. What I liked about his explanation there, talking like even right at the very end, is I don't need him to explain the data that he would be looking at, or his coaching staff would be looking at, or the analysts would be presenting to them to utilize. I don't need him to make the players understand it. I mean, it doesn't matter to me whether the players understand or not. But if they want to know, hey, why am I not being used anymore against Sidney Crosby? Why am I not? If there are and he wants to use that as part of an explanation for that, I mean, great. there's no reason not to do that. But like, to my mind, if you utilize the information you've got and put the players in the right positions, the most advantageous positions that you can put them in, that's all I really need from you on that. Like, if the player has a curiosity about it and wants to know more about it, I think maybe more and more baseball players, I get the impression, are getting more interested. Mm-hmm. It's been longer standing a foothold in the sport, so it's just more and more prevalent, and therefore acceptance grows as that happens, that evolves over time. Like, hockey, I think, still has a long way to go in that area. And, I never worry about whether or not the players are embracing it. Like, it doesn't matter to me if they are. Just use them the right way. They'll have success, and they'll be productive, and I would think somewhat happy if they're having success.
As long as you are, as long as you are having success. I mean, the last... I don't know about Housley and how this really was. The story on Bylsma was that he lost them. Like, it wasn't because of that, probably. It was because of personality. Like, that he lost them. So, yeah, I mean, what you're saying is, in part, if you're winning, it's a mic drop. Like, you don't need to explain anything or whatever if you're winning. But you have to be winning.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're... if you're using numbers, I think, as reasons for like lineup decisions or for usage, and your team is losing, I think a coach runs the risk of losing guys then because they don't know,
right?
Or they might not know that world, that information, what it means. You don't need them. I think what you're saying too, like, you don't need them to master that, but You need to get results.
Right.
I think Phil Housley could have, if he was on the station every week, often saying something that was easily disproven by stats. Like, he would talk about Sabatka in a defensive role, and then the stat guys would line up on Twitter and be like, actually, and this was just happening every week. And so what's really going on in there, like, I'm not in the room, but my takeaway is, Housley values Sabatka's being a veteran, and maybe even though he seemed like maybe through talking to Paul, like somebody who was just kind of down on being here, but still, like, Housley valued something about that. And really, he either didn't know about those statistics, didn't care, just didn't think, probably, right? He just didn't think he needed that. Because I'm watching the games. I'm Phil Housley. I'm in the Hall of Fame. This is my life. And I would know this. And these guys cannot get away with that anymore because there's just too many people who are out there, and the numbers get, as far as I know, better and better at illustrating or showing what performance really is. And so a coach like this, like that, like Housley maybe or others, ends up just kind of being swallowed up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm mostly driving at, I don't need a coach to instruct a player how to have good analytics. Like, that makes no sense to me. Like, put them in positions, put them in the right matchups, put them in the right zones, give them an opportunity, and they're either going to perform or they're not. The player doesn't, to me, need to have any knowledge of how that all works, unless, again, like, there's a problem and you want to use it to explain yourself. Well, look, actually, I know that you think you're really good in this area, but here's how you're not. And, like, here, I'll even show you a video to support it. Like, this is it. You're not.
Yeah, that's one way to get across.
This is bad. Mm-hmm. But, you know, players just got to play. You know, you want to have the puck. You want to get shots on goal. You want to score. You want to defend. Like, that's the game, you know? So if you can have your hands in both cookie jars at the same time, that, I think, is where you want to be. And that, I'm hopeful that this guy has the mental dexterity to do that.
And I really need, like, it's Botterill and the Pegulas at first, right? Like, Botterill got this guy, and I don't want to assume anything, like, sort of about it that's just like, well, there's a family connection, or there's sort of a, well, this is how that happened. Like, I want to give it the benefit of the doubt here. I haven't seen evidence from the Sabres like you see from other teams, like even the Leafs, that they do things because of it. And I don't know if the Sabres are not, they just have not shown that yet. Mm-hmm. So how Botterill got there, he's known this guy his whole life. Maybe it's a happy accident. Maybe it's a sea change. Kruger is talking about a team of coaches. Are we at a point in this league where, for this person who comes from where he comes from, like, that's just going to be... not only am I not going to resist the numbers guy, I'm going to flaunt him. he's going to be right here beside me, and we're going to show you, like, this is why we're doing things. Like, because that is kind of what happened in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And there was definitely pushback, but, you know, that got beat. And then you have, you know, players who have all, by now, I mean, all of them know the new world, and they all speak the new language. And it's Josh Donaldson a few years ago saying, we have a word for ground balls, outs. Like, they just... And guys who would have been, like, quote, slap hitters in the day are now just, you know, swinging up. It's home runs or die. It's adapt or die. And the key man in the Sabre thing, it kind of just, like, you know, it almost maybe doesn't even need to be said. But Ristolainen. What about Ristolainen? Ristolainen has been a drag on their performance for almost his whole career. And the Sabres haven't noticed. And you have different coaches and different managers. They have not figured it out. Will that change? I mean, I don't know if Ralph Kruger walks in and is like, we got to trade Rasmus Ristolainen. I kind of doubt it. I kind of feel like he's not going to be intimate like that with the situation here. And he's getting this opportunity based on his credentials and his style and all the rest. Not like, let me show you guys what I would do, you know, with your players. There might have been some of that. There maybe had to be some of that. But then you have a practical part of that, too, with the Sabres and with Ristolainen, and you've got injuries. So, you know, might have been easy to come up with a trade scenario for him before you lost Pilot and Bogosian. It's not going to be Montour, I guess. He's not,
hopefully at this point. Yeah, they don't think it's long-term. But
that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
So, like, now you have sort of a, you know, you might need to keep him.
You might. I don't know. Like, I think that'll be interesting to track, because if you still want to do something meaningful at the top end on the offensive side of your roster, I don't know how else you accomplish that other than just lighting money on fire in free agency, which, you know, you might be able to do, you know, but you might regret that. Like, I think so far the results, you know, since the Pegulas have owned the Sabres, there's nothing but regret in that area. You know, like, we have not had even like small sign. The best they've done is Pilot, who's just a European unknown, basically. Like, oh, we can sign this guy. Let's get him. And you'll see what happens with this Ruotsalainen from Finland, who's 21, and they just are bringing him over. And okay.
And Antipin was also one of those
Antipin
people.
Antipin was that idea, and that, you know, that didn't go anywhere, and he went back to Russia. But, you know, as far as here, like, Pouliot on a one-year deal, Jacob Josephson, Oposo, Molson, like, the list is...
Those are the important ones.
Right, you go all the way back to Leno, and I think I'm forgetting the name of the defenseman. Erhoff was a pretty effective player, but the team bottomed out, and he wanted to get out of here, so they let him go. It just has not been fruitful at all, and I think that, there's a lesson in that. So trading is probably the only way you can do it, and I don't know what else they're going to do other than shop Ristolainen to try to accomplish that despite the injuries, because otherwise I think you're pretty static.
Well, I'd just love to see them trade him, and I should not forget that they could trade him for another defenseman. Like, you don't have to, you know, keep him because you're short on defensemen. You know, you could change that too. Paul Hamilton coming up in about 15 minutes. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. You can reach us at 803-0550. This is WGR.
All right, concert ticket time. We got a pair of tickets right now to go check out Shinedown with Papa Roach, Asking Alexandria, and Savage After Midnight. This show is Friday, September 27th at KeyBank Center. Minimum value of this prize is $60. Courtesy of the nice folks at Live Nation, general contest rules apply. Tickets go on sale to the general public Friday, 10 a.m. at livenation.com. You can win a pair right now. Caller 5-644-9878.
What's that number again? I've got my phone out.
644-9878.
I wanted to ask Ralph Krueger how many numbers he had to push to get us earlier. Like, is there a whole bunch of numbers before the number when you're calling from Europe? Isn't there usually some extra?
There's some extra, but it's not that many, I don't think.
Maybe in the name of
a country code, maybe for, I don't know.
I think that's just one number at the beginning.
You throw like a four in there?
Yeah.
Maybe in the name of today's news, you should have had what the U.S. code is.
Yeah, I don't
in that
know.
Number.
Yeah, sorry, I called last summer. There was a goalie coach who runs camps in Oshawa and Montreal, who I had to call, and he was in Switzerland.
Okay.
So I had that number. Like, he called me first and left a message. And it looked like nothing else my phone had ever seen. Like,
no.
There was a bunch of stuff there.
Your phone does not know
so
what that is.
But I was able to find my way to getting in touch with
your phone thinks it's a routing number.
Right.
Or
like,
some
is,
other kind
what
of
is that
passport
exactly?
number.
Right.
So he would have only had to hit one, because that's the code for the U.S. and Canada.
That's all you need to do now. Life is just so incredible now.
Now, if we were calling him, and if he were in England, if we were calling him, then we'd have to dial 44. First. 44 is the code for the United Kingdom.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I might need to know that.
Who determined that the U.S. was going to get number one? Probably us.
Yeah, we're like, these are the terms.
Yeah.
We invented phones, so here's how
so
it's going to work.
So we're getting number one.
Here's how
and
it's
going to
work.
We'll share it with Canada, but we get number one.
I'm not going to need to know that ever. If I ever need to call the U.K., I will Google it and do it. I mean, I will just, I can afford to forget this. I had, remember the conversation, real quick, the conversation about my pool? And how I couldn't get
do it yourself. You couldn't get it opened in time.
I had to decide between doing it myself and having someone new come and do it because the company I've used before was booked.
Yep.
And then somebody with a company called Liner Guys called the station and said, well, we are a company. We do this if you want. And I hired them. And so they were over today. Great job. We're finishing up in the driveway. I'm paying them. We're sitting there. And a guy pulls up in front of the house in a truck and gets out. Starts like this older guy starts walking toward the three of us, the two workers and me. And he wants to know if he can hire them.
Okay.
And the guys, you know, they just said, sure. And they had to figure out what kind of pool he had, and they're talking. And the one guy from the company said, well, we'll send you a text message or an email. And the guy's like, I don't have that. Mm. So he eventually left. Like, they took his information, and they were going to call him back, and everything was fine, and he left. And the three of us were talking for a minute. They're like, it's just such a different, it's got to be so strange. This world has to be so strange to that guy.
Right.
Because, like, there's no text, there's no email.
Right.
Just going to need you to answer the phone when I call.
Right.
And I'm going to find out about your company, not because I'm going to do a Google search, but because I'm just driving around and I see your truck.
Right.
And I'll pull over and get out of my van and ask you questions.
As luck would have it, I need your services and you are here and I'm just going to do this and then I'm going to go home and tell my family, hey, guess what I did? I hired the pool people. How'd you do that?
That's how.
Right.
10,000 times out of 10,000, I am not pulling over to talk to those guys in right. somebody else's driveway.
Right, right.
I am never doing that no. ever.
Right.
Maybe I'll pull over and like write the number down or yep. something, but that is the as close as yep. I will get.
It's funny the things that you just don't have to do anymore. Owen played in a hockey game a couple weekends ago at the Northtown Center. And my parents have come to lots of his hockey games over the years. For a long time, we were at Tacoma and at Nichols with the Bisons, and that's so they knew that where that was. And then the last couple of years, home games were at Holiday Twin Rinks. So it dawns on me when I told them, hey, Saturday afternoon, they're playing this Team USA deaf team. Like, you should come out. And it's the Northtown Center, and I realized my dad has no idea where that what that means. And so I have to give him directions.
Write them out.
Like he wrote them. I told him over the phone, like, how to, you know, maple and just, I'm being very careful, very meticulous in my head because I'm like, you take it for granted, you know? It's just not the kind of thing you're used to doing anymore, is
no.
giving actual directions that someone is writing down.
Right. Ralph Krueger, coach of the Sabres. Paul Hamilton next on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.